I'd like to share with you a question that we received. And this is from a young man, and it's a good question. No question is a bad question if you want to know the truth and you're looking for truth, right? It says, how can I learn to grow up in my gift of teaching if I'm not allowed to share in the assembly? And I say that's a good question. I would like to point out a couple of things about this. First, I'd like to look in 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, speaking about the rules of assembly here. What is it then, brethren, when you come together? Each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath the revelation, hath the tongue, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two or by the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the others discern. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted. Okay, here's the truth, okay? There's no gift of teaching. The gifts don't list teaching as one of them. Even though everything we receive from God on the larger viewpoint is a gift, obviously, but the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for instance, are given to everybody. Any Christian can have these gifts if they will just desire them and seek them as God commanded us to do. Anybody. You don't have to be mature to have these gifts. He gives them to baby Christians, okay? But teaching is an office. It's dealt with differently than the gifts. You'll notice we spoke about the gifts here, and he tells people that they can prophesy, let the prophets speak by two or three, and let the others discern. And so when he says, for instance, in verse 26, what is it then, brethren, when you come together, each one at the psalm, at the teaching, at the revelation, at the tongue? He wasn't talking about everybody can do everything, because let's face the facts here, not everybody can prophesy. He said, let the prophets do this, because they've got a gift to do this, right? And I'm not sure he's talking about the office of prophet here. He's talking about the people who prophesy, who have this gift. Let them do it in this way, one by one. They can do it. Okay, that's good. Because they have the gift, right? Well, when he says, each one hath a psalm, obviously many people can have psalms and have a teaching. Now, teaching is an office in the church. And there are strict rules about the office in the church. Everybody is not a teacher. We're told that very clearly, for instance, in verse chapter 12 and verse 29. I'll read this to you. Or 28, I'll back up. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. But whatever your gift is, obviously, or your calling, or your office is, you should work inside the bounds of that gift or office. Now, when he mentions over here, when you come together, he's talking about both gifts and offices here, just like he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, he talked about gifts and offices. You know, there are many ministers in the church. Anybody who administers a gift in the church, you don't have to be mature to administer a gift. Okay? You grow with your gift as you share your gift. The gifts are listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't have to be mature to have the gift or to exercise it in the church. But there's a difference between that and an office. The offices are elders which means mature. You know, they're elders in the Lord. They're mature. And so when he says each one can do this, he's talking about the people who have their gift to prophesy can prophesy. The people who have their gift to give a psalm can give their psalm. And the people who have their gift to teach can teach. And, of course, this is an office. So we're warned about this for the very good reason that we don't want a lot of leaven spread while people are learning the truth and putting together their line upon line here a little and there a little. We don't want a bunch of leaven spread throughout the church because people don't know what they're doing. Well, it's happened. It's happened. It has happened. The church is totally dispersed, separated, full of false doctrine, you know, full of ignorant leadership, and all because they didn't obey the rules laid down. You know, in the office of an elder, which is apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, you know, these are the elders. God has laid down strict rules. One thing he's told us, for instance, in James chapter 3, in verse 1, let me read this to you. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive the heavier judgment. We. So James, who is an apostle, who is also pointing out that he is a teacher. Now, we know that apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists are all teachers after a form. A teacher has a little specific gift of teaching doctrines and revelations that are slightly different but overlap with prophets and apostles and so on and so forth. But he tells you here, be not many of you teachers, my brother, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. Why is this? Because now they're responsible for raising up the church and only sowing the seed of Christ in the people so that Christ in them is what, you know, is the one that has eternal life, is the one that does the works, everything. You know, the church has another Jesus because they've allowed teachers to come into the pulpit who didn't know what they were talking about. They weren't mature so that they could bring mature doctrine. They were sowing leaven amongst the body. And God says he judged them. Now, I've seen the same thing, you know, in my brief term. I was ordained first in the ministry as a teacher by an apostle, which is the biblical way to do it. And I wasn't ordained because I practiced this in front of people teaching. This is wrong. We don't learn to grow up in the gift of teaching. This is not now. The gifts are that way. You learn by expressing the gift, and you get more confidence, and you step out a little farther by faith. These are word revelation things. But teaching is not that way. You know how God chooses a teacher? Well, first of all, the only one that's qualified to teach is somebody who is first taught themselves. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for that, right? First, you have to teach yourself. I mean, first of all, people don't seek to climb the corporate ladder in the church as the world, okay? A person is not qualified if they're out there practicing to see how good they can get in order to teach the church. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I wasn't interested in showing other people. I was interested in finding out myself. I was looking for the truth, and I loved looking for the truth. And my heart was totally in it, and I had this gift of desiring after the truth and seeking it day and night. And after a while, I had filled myself up with a lot of truth, and it was God who then ordained me to be a teacher. And it wasn't that I was seeking this gift of anyone, nor was I practicing on people or anything. I was just looking and filling myself up with the Word, and it was just flowing out of me, you know, because I was so desirous to find truth for myself, you know. You know, here's the point, folks. Jesus said, get the board out of your eye so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's eye. This is the precedent. First, it's you that God has to straighten out. It's me that God has to straighten out. You know, he's ordaining elders, which means mature, right? Okay. And he tells us to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth, right? Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. See, notice the emphasis is always this way, right? And who does he give authority to? Revelation 2 and 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give authority. Okay, so the Lord is ordaining people who have overcome themselves. They've come to maturity themselves, and they're walking in it because he says, they keepeth my works. So this is who he's ordaining. He's not ordaining somebody that's got to learn as they go. He's getting their doctrine straight before they go out there. He's not experimenting on the church with immature doctrine or somebody who's going to have to change it as they go because they've only had a little bit here and a little bit there and they haven't put the pieces together, you know. Elders are mature. And if they're not, then you're sowing leaven, right? Well, looking back at our James chapter 3 and verse 1 text, he goes on to say, first of all, he said, don't do this because you're going to receive heavier judgment. In other words, you've got to be careful. You're telling God's people the truth. You don't want to be a false prophet. So don't think that God's going to use you to experiment on them while you grow in your knowledge of the truth. No, God wants to get you straight first. Okay. And verse 2 says, for, because he's connecting verse 1 with verse 2 and on, for in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, see, so here's somebody, he doesn't want some immature person to go out there and, you know, put together the first thing that they have seen. They don't have the experience of the word. They're just, you know, sharing it as a theological exercise. They don't have the experience of the word. They haven't tried it. It isn't, it's like the weapons that David put on from Saul. He said he hadn't tried these weapons. You know, he didn't need these weapons. Because he hadn't proved them, you know. He said, if any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. Same word there is a mature man. So he says, don't be many of you teachers. If you haven't stumbled in word, the same is an elder, right, a mature man. And he's able to bridle the whole body also. So he's walking in the word. That's a necessity for an elder. We can't have hypocrites preaching things that they can't obey. Okay. So not only do you have to have the doctrine correct, you have to be walking in it, right? So this is what a mature man is, somebody who's not stumbling in word, and they're certainly not making everybody else stumble because they're sharing it with them. See? Now, if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths so that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whether the impulse of the steersman will. So they've got control over their vessel because they got their tongue in order. They're speaking the truth. They've got control over their vessel, right? So the tongue is a little member and boasts of the great things. Behold how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. And the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire of hell. Wow. So somebody that don't have their teaching straight and is young in the ways of the Lord, do you think that they should be propped up in the place of an elder? in front of the assembly to teach people? Never. It's totally unscriptural, folks. I mean, he's talking about burning up the whole body here, defiling the whole body with this tongue of an immature person. We're not here to experiment. This is serious stuff. The Lord pronounced in the last four verses of the book not to add to or take away from the words of this book, lest we want the curses of this book to fall upon us. This is serious stuff. And he's telling you right off that judgment will come upon the person that does this. You're not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive the heavier judgment. You know? Listen, the Lord told us in Romans 10 and 15, how can they preach except they be sent? It's not enough to think and desire and have an ambition to be a teacher or a preacher or whatever. Lots of people have that. That just comes out of the world. This ambition comes out of the world. And if you're an outgoing person, if you are nice looking and have good looking clothes, and so you make and impress people. You can impress the worldly church with this, but this is not the qualification. The qualification is to have your doctrine straight, be taught of the Lord before you teach others. Jesus was very specific about teaching his disciples, correcting them, correcting their thinking, before he ordained them and sent them forth. Sent forth is what the word apostle means. Okay? He was very insistent on working extremely hard on these 12 men and then the 70 and so on and so forth in order to send forth his word. His word. It had to go forth so they wouldn't defile the whole body. And, you know, I have seen men who have come up under our ministry and begun to get enough truth to puff them up, and then they went forth to speak and to gain a following, and of course the people that don't love the truth enough not to be deceived go and follow after people like that. And this is actually something that the Lord uses this to cleanse a body of people from people who don't love the truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness, and for this reason God sends them a lie, that they would believe a lie. So this is how God cleanses the body of these people who are proud and arrogant and so on. So you can see why God is insistent on us first being ordained to an office before we start expressing that office. And don't let the world put you in a position where you're going to be judged because you don't know what you're talking about. Don't let the world put you, I'm talking about the worldly church, don't let them put you in a position to do that. We have to love the brethren enough not to put them in a position where they're going to get in trouble. Okay. So who's guilty if this happens? Well, the person that does this, that, you know, first of all, we know what the Bible says about apostles ordaining elders. It's very clear. Okay. Bible schools can't ordain elders. They can't give you a certificate in the church. They can do their own thing, which is what they do. Okay. The Pharisees were given their certificates, but the ones that followed Jesus were the only ones that were ordained, and they were just those ignorant fishermen, right? They didn't have anything to boast of except that they knew they were ignorant and they were trainable, and Jesus was able to teach them his ways, his truths, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes. They do, but they are certainly cut down to a minimum when the Lord Jesus himself trains you up. And that's what he does with the people that he sends for. He trains them up. Did you know nobody really ordains ministers but the Lord? I mean, for the true church, the only one that ordains them is the Lord. Oh, sure, certainly he uses an apostle who has a gift to recognize these people and has a gift of hearing from the Lord as who to ordain and so on and so forth. Certainly he uses them, but the Lord is the only one that ordains people. And you know who he ordains? Those that look just like him. You know, he trains them up. He sows that seed, which is the word of God, in them until it brings forth him in them. And he sends them forth. not an experiment. We can't afford to experiment. We can't afford to mess up the minds of a lot of people with somebody who's trying, you know, thinking over a period of time to get their doctrine straight, you know. These things ought to be thought out before then, and the Lord does. See, He is preparing us. So you can see from, you know, James 3 and 1 very plainly that God wants maturity here. And we also know, you know, 1 Timothy 3 and 1, read that to you, on down, which are the conditions by which the Lord will ordain bishops who, by the way, in Acts 20, 17 and 22, he tells you that the elders are bishops. The elders are, the word is overseer. Bishop means overseer. The elders are the overseers for the church. And so this is speaking of the qualifications for elders. The most important qualifications are being right and being holy. If you want to sum it all up, that they need to be right in what they say in the doctrine. They have to be speaking what the word without adding to it, without taking away from it, and they need to be holy. Okay? If you wanted to sum it all up, right? Even deacons have to be proven, and then let them serve as deacons. They need to be proven. The elders have to be proven even that much more. You know, that these are holy people, that they're walking with the Lord. They're true disciples of Jesus Christ. Right? The problem with the first church, I'll call Israel, is they did the exact same thing that the church is doing today. They said, laid down the precedent. In Isaiah chapter 3, in verse 4, he said, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. This has certainly happened in the church, folks. People that go and got their certificate because they learned how to answer the right questions with what they were, people wanted to hear, and they were sent forth by these organizations of men. And yet they were not mature in the Lord because they didn't have to walk in anything. All they had to do is answer the questions the way they wanted them answered. You know, this is crazy. You know, this is not what Jesus did. He said you have to be an overcomer and keep His works to receive authority from Him. Okay. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And that certainly happened. He's not talking physical here. Obviously, it's not true physically. No children ruled over Israel, physically speaking. But spiritually speaking, it was true. They were babes. Not permitted. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by the other, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the old man. Meaning he'll take authority over the old man, the mature man, the child who should be sitting down and listening, instead is taking authority over somebody that's more mature than he is. Why? Well, he got his Bible certificate, of course. The Bible college certificate. Yeah. And it doesn't make a bit of sense. And Jesus agrees with me on this. The base against the honorable, he says. When a man shall take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. Hey, you look nice. You can talk good. You know, you got a nice suit, you know. Hey, the qualifications that the worldly church wants in the people that lead them are just foolishness. You know. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Again, this is wasn't generally true in Israel that women ruled over. It wasn't generally true in the natural, but it was true in the spiritual, because women are to not sow seed, they are to receive seed. And there's a lot of people that way. They're not ready to sow seed. They're ready to receive seed. They need Jesus in them so that Jesus in them can do the work. Jesus is the teacher. We're not the teachers. Jesus is the teacher. And when you put the Word of God in you so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance, and it's the sum of thy words that come forth, then it's the Word of Jesus, not your Word. He's the teacher, right? So that's who He ordains, Himself. You know, sounds weird, but it's the truth. He ordains himself. He knows he's right. He knows he can do it. We can't do it. We can do nothing without him. You know? Oh, praise be to God. So, now, are we talking about a brother can't come and give a report because he's not ordained as an elder? No, we're not talking about that. Reporting on the economy, for instance? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Bible teachings and doctrines, sharing Bible teachings and doctrines in the assembly. We're not talking about home Bible studies. We're not talking about sharing with friends or ignorant brethren around us. We're not talking about the brother who goes forth to do the work of an evangelist to bring people into the kingdom. We're not talking about that. So don't stretch it, you know, in order to make a point here. You know, first of all, we shouldn't study to show others. That's a trap for your pride, because you're not going to want to back up and say, I was wrong. And that's the problem with these denominational preachers. They won't ever say they're wrong. You can show them all the verses you want. They are not humble to the Word of God. Okay? And as I was saying, having ambition does not mean that God has called you to this. Being outgoing does not mean that God has called you. Being talkative is not the qualification for being a teacher. Being right and being holy is. So that's just, maybe some of you brethren out there would like to share some of your experiences, some of our elder brethren here, you know, that have been taught of the Lord, have been humble towards the Word, and received the sum of thy words. Any of you brethren have some things you'd like to share about this?
Hi, David. This is Rob.
Hey, Rob. God bless you, brother.
Well, it's, you know, definitely. I appreciate what your comments are there. It's definitely the mature that need to be sharing the Word. And, you know, the work is needs to be done to, you know, become equipped beforehand. And it is the Lord's ordaining. And it's the Lord's preparing. And so he's the one that makes those choices and establishes those things. And so we do need to be careful, you know, how we go about that and not to step out, you know, on our own ahead of the Lord.
Amen.
So
we have much demonstration to show us, you know, how wrong this is and how bad it works. We can look out across the expanse of Christianity and see just how badly this has put leaven in the church, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's that's the crux of it there is the way that ordinations in the church have taken place. You're right in, you know, going through and taking tests and you know, passing tests and writing out the answers that the professors wanted to hear, you know, that doesn't prove that they're able to and ready to teach, you know. So I think Brother Roy also has a comment here that he wants to add. So go ahead, Roy.
Well, my wife and I were just sitting here listening to Brother David, and he was describing perfectly when my wife and I went before the board, the district board, back when we were in our Pentecostal denomination, and you know, just we had the answers that they wanted, and we got our license, and you know, we were and our certificate. I guess that's what the board is for. But the thing is, we just accepted all these things that had nothing to do with the scriptures as just being the way that things worked. You know, we just accepted the church and whatever they said and whatever they practiced, and we didn't know the difference. And it just seemed like that. Well, this is the way things are done, you know. But there was just so many years later. Years have gone by now, and we came out of the church world, and now we're reading the Bible, and we're going, well, wait a minute. If they didn't have these positions and districts and general superintendents and all these hierarchy structures in the Bible, well, that means God didn't want us to have them. And but just the typical Christian, you know, with good intentions, they'll want to connect to God
say we lost Rory there. He's calling in through Magic Jack, and when it sometimes disconnects and it goes into some
right.
some of Magic
right.
Jack's default music. So that's what the music was. It was from Magic Jack, and Rory has no control over that. So anyway,
yeah,
what he was commenting there, I've experienced that too. Is that the denomination doesn't know. In their denominational structure and their methodology and, you know, how they go about the practice of ordination, they don't even know how to handle somebody that has truly been ordained by God, because it doesn't, he does, that individual doesn't fit into their box. And so they have a hard time, you know, recognizing that in the first place. And so that's the problem there.
Absolutely. You know, we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that you can't ordain a novice lest he, being puffed up, he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. And the devil was very proud of his beauty and his importance, and his ego got the better of him. And it does the same thing when you take somebody that's a novice in the ways of the kingdom, not necessarily in going to school and getting all the education, but it's not just the education, it's the walking in it. I mean, if you're walking in what you're learning, you're not easily going to be tripped up by the devil, and you're not easily going to get puffed up. But knowledge does puff up. You can receive knowledge and be puffed up thinking you're somebody because you know something, you know? And yet, if we're not walking in it, we're just more condemned with more knowledge. if you're receiving more knowledge and you're not walking in it, you are more condemned than when you were ignorant.
Right.
You know? And right. So this doesn't make you more qualified. This makes you less qualified, you know? Humble is somebody that hears the word of God and submits to it. Proud is the guy that gets the knowledge and goes out there to teach everybody else, but he doesn't teach himself. That's the same thing that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for, you know. So novices, they're, you know, I pray that God raises up many, many teachers, and I know that he's going to do that. And I know that the way he prepares them is he gives them a gift to seek God for themselves. He gives them a gift to love truth for themselves. They're just hungry to know more about God, you know, and they're putting it inside of them. And suddenly the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm going to start bringing it out of you now. You know, and he starts bringing it up out of them with an anointing, and it reaches out and it touches folks. It really touches them.
Right.
It's not just theological knowledge that you got by going to school. These guys sat on a rock with Jesus, and they learned from the master. You know, that's where we need to learn from. One time, years ago, when I first went into Pensacola, there I got associated with a bunch of people from a Liberty group there, Liberty Church group there, and I would go around into their Bible studies and share with them, and they'd ask me questions, and they liked my testimonies and revelations of faith and so on and so forth. And they asked me, they said, well, David, why don't you go to our Bible college? And the answer the Lord gave me was this: if I wanted to learn from men, I would probably go to the library and get the best that history has to offer. I said, if I go to your Bible college, I might get the best that your organization has to offer, but it certainly wouldn't be the best that history has to offer. I said, but if I want to learn from God, I can just go straight to the Word. Well, how do you make yourself study? They asked me. I said, I don't have to make myself study. It's a desire that God has put in me. You know, it's a gift, because that's how he prepared me. He gave me this gift, this desire to study. I never had a desire to study in the world. I wasn't even good at it in the world, you know. I was lousy at it, as a matter of fact, you know. But God just gave me this. This is how he does it. It's not ambition and calling yourself called.
that gets you this position of teacher. If you got it that way, you're in trouble. Okay, it is God giving you a gift and a desire to have more of Him and to walk in it, because you are having a relationship with Him. You're walking in it. Listen, when God doesn't see you, that's when you're getting tried. I mean, when men don't see you, excuse me, that's when you're being tried. Are you going to live it before God when nobody else sees you because you love Him and this is your desire? Or are you only going to live it when men are looking? You see, God is raising up people that love Him and love His Word and desire truth for themselves, not to impress other people. For themselves. These are the only ones that are qualified. This is how God ordains people. He prepares them, and then He ordains them. The calling is not the choosing and sending. You know, some people say, I'm called this or do that. Oh, yeah? Well, do you have this gift in you? Do you have this gift to desire to do it for yourself, to walk in it yourself? If you don't have that, you just have an ambition to be somebody in the church world, you're not qualified, and you haven't been called of God. See? So it's real simple. I mean, God can choose simple-minded men like myself. I mean, I didn't choose to be a teacher, and that wasn't my ambition. My ambition was to know more about God. And I'm not a smart person. You know, I need God every time I open my mouth.
Well, David, I could relate to that. I make mention here on the that verse that you mentioned in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, about not laying hands on somebody too hastily. I've personally seen that happen, where that brought destruction upon somebody. It was a situation in a church that I was in, and you know, one of the wives that was a member of the church, you know, we had been praying for her husband to come to the Lord, and he finally did. And you know, within I'd say 6 months or so, you know, he was brought into, you know, on their leadership team, as they called it, but it was basically their elders. And within a year or two, he was out of there. He was out of the church entirely, walking away from the Lord. He was not able to, he was not matured and to deal with the things that he came in contact with, for one thing. You know, his walk wasn't such that, and he wasn't strong enough in the Word, to be able to walk in the Word. And
yeah,
at a tough time, you know, dealing with the situations that came up, and it just, it damaged him.
Absolutely.
It was tragic to see. You know, I hated seeing it happen, but, you know, and it wasn't, what took place wasn't his fault necessarily. You know, he was eager to help, eager to serve. He just didn't have the understanding in what needed to take place before he was able to do what he was put in there by man to do. So
yeah, he didn't have good guidance, you know, either from the people that were before him. They didn't have enough sense to obey the scriptures, you know, about not ordaining a novice, you know.
That's right. You know, so that it was, like I say, it was really tragic to see. And to this day, he's not walking with the Lord. You know, so.
Yeah, I know people just like that. Like I said, came up under our ministry, but, you know, one of the worst things, you know, for the church today has been the Internet. Because if somebody knows how to use the Internet, before you know it, they'll have a site. Before you know it, they have ordained themselves. They're either a teacher or a prophet or an apostle. You know, all because they know how to use the Internet.
Right.
You know, and I've seen people like that, you know, started teaching other people, you know, even started under our ministry and started teaching other people and went out there and ordained themselves, basically called themselves anything they wanted to call themselves. I know people that are dying right now.
Yep.
Because when we called them down on what they had done, ordaining themselves, gathering a following by speaking against us,
And when we called them down on it, God judged them time after time after time, and they're in a state right now where they're dying.
Yes, in fact, David, the individual I'm talking about, I mentioned, he is dying right now.
Yeah.
And he is probably 40, he's under 50, he's probably 45 years old.
Yeah.
He is dying. And it's just, like I said, it's just tragic and breaks my heart.
Yeah. All because the Word of God is not being taught to people. Or they have selfish ambition and they set out because they're able, through the Internet, to gain a following. People will listen to them. They don't know their life. They can't observe their life. If this fellow I was talking about, if they would have observed his life, nobody would have followed this guy, you know. But on the Internet, nobody knows you. You know, you can put yourself forward as anybody you want to, you know. Yep, it's tragic. It's all because people went and they weren't sent. And so we certainly don't want that to happen to any of the younger brethren, you know, that maybe have an ambition to be a teacher, or maybe they're truly called to be a teacher. But if they are, they'll be given this gift to desire to walk in it themselves. They will have a desire to find the truth. They will not be satisfied with what men say. They'll be desiring to follow the Master himself through the Word of God, you know. You know, and these people, they won't be satisfied with Babylon, and they'll desire the Word for themselves, and God will reach out when they are full, when this is one of those six clay vessels that he filled up, you know. When they're filled, he'll turn it into the wine of the life of Jesus Christ, you know. And he'll bless many people with that, you know. And certainly God is has sent a lot of people to us, I believe, to make them ministers of the gospel. And but we certainly don't want to push anybody out there to their own detriment too far ahead of time, do we?